Kumlen Ablat Gemara, it's Motzei Shabbos Kedush Parshas Teildas, Davkuf Dalid Amid Aleph. We are up to the Mishnah, 6 lines from the top. Okay. Boiskin Melach, you're allowed to break up salt and scatter them al gabe kevesh on a ramp. Bishvil Shalayachliku. If it rains, it's a slope, there's no steps, and it can be slippery, so therefore you put salt on there to make it easy to walk and give you some balance. And so on. You're allowed to do that in the Beis HaMikdash, not at home. Why can't you do it at home? Because it looks like you're building, you're adding to the building, but a Beis HaMikdash will allow it, as Gemara will explain. Memalin, you're permitted. Meboid HaGoyle or Meboid HaGodl, you're allowed to fill up water from these two pits that were inside the Beis HaMikdash, and they were all in the courtyard. One is called Beid HaGoyle, one is called Beid HaGodl, but Galgul B'Shabbos, using this pail on Shabbos. Only in the Beis HaMikdash and not anywhere else. Why not anywhere else? I'm going to explain later. You're scared you're going to water your garden with it. It's so easy to pull up and you're going to water your garden. In other words, in a place where there's no gardens, then you should be able to. Umebe'ed hakar b'yamtif. So too, you're allowed to take from this well, which is called Hakir, as we'll see later what it's called, on Yamtif. What exactly this well? This is outside the Beis HaMikdash. What is exactly this well? We'll see later. Says the Gemara. Rami le'Ravikim b'Rishon Klorava, Rav Ika, the son of from the city of Pashrein, Asrova, Tanan. In our Mishnah, it says, Boiskin melech al gabi akevesh, allowed to scatter the salt on the ramp, b'shvil shlo yachliku, in order that people shouldn't slip. B'Mikdash, so clearly, b'Mikdash, yes, b'Medina le, but not outside of Beis HaMikdash. But I mean, we learned elsewhere, chotzer shen eskalkul b'meyak sham, if you have a courtyard that got ruined through rainwater, maybe tevin, you can bring straw, umaradaba, fill it up. So we see that not only Beis HaMikdash, but anywhere, you're permitted to place things there to make it unslippery. Says the Gemara, shiny tevin lemevatle. Straw is different than salt. When it comes to salt, only the Beis HaMikdash, nowhere else, because salt you're going to leave there, it looks like you're adding to the building. Straw you're going to use as animal fodder. Even if you put it there, it'll be only very temporary, you can move it away. Then even in your own home, you're permitted to do that, because you're not going to be mevatle it and leave it there. You can use it either for cement, you can use it for animal fodder. This salt, what are we talking about? Are we talking about salt you're going to leave on the ramp? We have a problem. And if you leave on the ramp, that means suddenly you added some dimensions here to you added to the actual ramp. And then we have exact measurements. Everything was inspired to me by Hashem, and you cannot make any amendments, any alterations to any of the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. But here you just did, by adding salt, suddenly you've elevated the ramp, the height of the ramp. So that's why it's also. And if it's so, how can you do that in the Beis HaMikdash? You tell me you're allowed, but you have another problem. You're adding to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Navas, be the loikam of Atla. You're not planning to leave it. You're going to take it away. No, they have a problem. What's the problem? Kohavi chatzitza. That means between the ramp and the feet of the koyin, there's something that's been dividing the two. That's a problem. And you're not allowed to have any chatzitza in the Beis HaMikdash. The kohenim cannot stand on a stool, they have to be on the floor. So how can you do that? Says the Gemara, when can't you stand on a box or something when you're doing the service in the Beis HaMikdash? We're talking about an activity. When do we allow you to put the salt on the ramp? Only when you're about to perform activity which is not considered service in the Beis HaMikdash, and immediately after that activity you remove the salt. And what exactly is that activity? When you're bringing up the limbs of the ramp at night to the Mizbeach, that already is not considered an activity, even though you have to do that. It's not really it's not part of the kapara, the atonement of the animal, and therefore you're permitted to have salt then on the ramp. The lav avoidi is not considered a service. It says more of not avoidi, but ksiv, it says clearly impossible. The kohen should bring up es hakoil, everything, the hikir mizbeach, and roast it on mizbeach. So we see clearly from here that only a kohen can do this. Why only a kohen? Because this is considered a connectivity. So how can you have salt? And we learned, what are we talking about? Do I lochas evodim lakevet, bringing up the limbs on the ramp? Elohim, you're right. You know when we're talking about you're permitted to put salt on the ramp and we're doing an activity which is not an avodim. What is that? By lochas eitzin lamarachim, you're bringing up the wood, you're ferrying the wood up to the top of the altar, you can put salt on the altar. But as soon as you finish, you remove the salt, because when they do the rest of the activities, there shouldn't be nothing there. Lav avoidi is not an avoidi. Dorash rov rov adash and chotzesh and is kalkum mekshamim. If you have a courtyard that got ruined with rainwater, maybe teven, we just had before, you bring your straw, maradba, and you fill it with the straw because eventually you'll take it away. And this can be anywhere, not only in the base of Midrash, but anywhere else, because it's only temporary, so it's not like you're building. Omelet our popular rov, the time we learned, kishuvaradim and adle besar, we learned elsewhere that when you make, you're saying openly allowed to do that, but we learned elsewhere that when you want to go ahead and to fill it with straw, there are certain methods you have to do it, and not the normal way. Loy basal, don't bring the straw in, carry in a basket, kupa, in a box, ela bishula kupa, turn the box over and put it there, or a broken part of the basket. In other words, don't bring it the normal way. And yet you ruled openly that you can bring a courtyard that had, that got all ruined, you could bring straw. So how can that be? Says the Gemara, Rava Oikim, we had this a number of times, it was an amazing, inspiring thing. Oikim Rava Amoira Alei. So the Rava the following day set up his Amoira, the one who has a loud voice, who basically repeats everything he says but in a louder way to make sure to disseminate to everybody. And he said, V'dorish, he said, this is what the Rava said, Dvorim Shamarti Lifneichem. You know what I told you yesterday? Toi Se B'yodi, I made an error. Beram, in truth, Kach Omru Mishum Rabbi Lez. This is what they say. I didn't qualify it, but really, when you bring the straw, ain't a merada, let a salon, not a basket, a box, a little cup in the bottom of the basket. The malam, but a good lot of fill up water from the boy, now goyle from these two pits in the base of Migdash, Ula, Iglu, and Amenashe, Ula once came to the house of Amenashe, also, who gavra, a person came along, Torah, a person came along and banged on the door. Omar, Ula got upset. Ula holds that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to make noise. We had the Gemara Shabbos in the first Paydik, but you're not allowed to have a water mill running on Shabbos. We have two opinions, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi. Rabbi Yosef said the reason is because your kelim should rest. And Rabbi said because you're making a lot of noise. Avshem Milsa. But here you're knocking on the door, it's not making so much noise. Ula felt you're not allowed to make any noise on Shabbos whatsoever. So he turned around to the guy who was banging on the door. Omar, man, hai, lischel gufei. Who is this person over here that is desecrating his being the Kamochel Shabbat? Because he just was Mechal Shabbos. But he made noise on Shabbos, generated noise. Says the Gemara, Omele Rabbi said, Le Osru El Kosh, the only noise you don't make on Shabbos is musical tones. But this you lot, I'm scared you can make, slow, calm music, not this kind of noise. Ace, Rabbi, I asked a question, you're telling me, but you're allowed to make noise on Shabbos. So Rabba, Mailim b'diyoyfi, you're allowed to use a tube to go from one barrel to the other, and you suck, you put one side of the tube in the barrel, and then you suck the other side, and then you put another barrel there, and it goes out by itself. And you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. And so too, umatifin, you're allowed to drip miyark from it's a kind of a vessel where you have holes on the bottom, and you have something to close it on top, like a stopper. And when you fill up with water, and you put the stopper on top, even though the holes in the bottom, there's no oxygen in there, the water doesn't come out. As soon as you open the stopper, everything drips down slowly from there. So you're allowed to. So what they would do that is they would use it to the water would drip. We have like 5 or 6 or 20 holes, and it would drip down. It would make noise, and it would wait. It would be an alarm clock. So you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. L'choyle b'Shabbos. You're allowed to do that for a sick person. Why only a sick person? All it does is it makes noise. You, Rabbi, say that noise is not an issue, only music. This is not music, this is just noise. So why is that a problem? It says, L'choyle b'Shabbos, L'choyle eat l'bari loy, only for a sick person. Hey, Chidami, what's the case talking about? Lav the neem, like someone is sleeping. If you could, boy, you want to wake up, like an alarm clock. And you want to have an alarm going off. So we see you now have an alarm going off on Shabbos. Even though you set it up before Shabbos, you now have an alarm going off on Shabbos. Shemamra isn't that proof that iludei kola osir, that you're not allowed to make noise on Shabbos. So Rabbi says, Loi, no. The Tir, he was up. The Kaboy de Leinim, we want him to go to sleep. He needs these different sound waves, this musical tone, sounds of waves, the rain, and some music comes kind of very calm music to put him to sleep. Kaboy de Leinim, he wants to go to sleep. The Mishtama ki kola de Zamzumi. So he hears the sound that's very sweet. I guess if you have the drops and you don't do them all in one go, but you have different drops going at different times, different heights, whatever it is, or different sizes, it makes different sounds. So it sounds like a musical sound. That's why only a sick person is allowed to, nobody else can. So musical sounds you cannot have. A stamina alarm that makes noise, not a musical sound, an annoying sound you're allowed to have. So Rabbah holds you, you're allowed to make noise in the Shabbos, and Ula holds you not allowed to. By the way, in the Rishonim, there's a big machlekes who the halacha is like. But Shulchan Aruch passes like Rabbah. So you let him knock on the door, and so on. Eitzel has a question. It says, "Hashamim peiros, if you want to guard your fruits and pnei for the birds, like a scarecrow, you want to make with the law, or your gourds and pnei chayy for the animals, Hashamim kedarke b'shabbes, you can do the same thing you normally do, stand there, you know, and chase them away. But I provided leisapig, don't clap your hands to frighten them, lo yitaper, don't bang your heart, lo yirake, don't dance, kedar shenet b'chol, like you do in a weekday, my time. Why not?" Love, isn't it? Because you're making noise. The kamoilid kol, you're making noise. Not musical sounds, it's just making noise. The kohalud kol also, isn't it proof that you're not making noise on Shabbos? No. We're worried, shema yitl tzro, you might take a pebble and throw it after them. This is all in the Rambam the last few days. Those little perkech or Rambam. We're scared that if we're going to do all these normal activities you do during the week, you might pick up a rock to chase them away, and you now do that on Shabbos. So I'm asking a question. Hold on, what have you done? Noshim, women, women who play nuts. They play nuts, they know who can get closer to the wall or can get it further, like bowls. Also, it's forbidden on Shabbos. Now, why should it be forbidden on Shabbos? My timer. Lav isn't it to come by the color. If they bang against each other or make noise. Anything that makes noise, also isn't allowed to. So you want to learn now? The problem is something else. You might try to level out the ground before, because if you see, but those will play the balls. You have to continuously level out the ground before you throw the balls. Same thing over here. Maybe you'll forget yourself and you'll level out the ground before you throw the nuts. The Eli Tema, I'll prove it to you. If you don't say that, hold on, you the noshim misachet betapuchim. Also, women who play the same game, but with apples is forbidden. Now, apples don't make noise. Hosa, my little colleague, what kind of noise are they making? It's not like nuts are banging, you know, the hard shells bang each other. Ella dilma osis real good. Must be apples, you might level out the ground. Same thing here. Tonight we learn that Mali Meboyra Gul, but a God will be Galgul B'Shabbos only in the base of Migdash. You're allowed to do that, but Migdash in the Lord. My time, why isn't love? Isn't it Meshum the Kaludah Yisoda Kola? Isn't the reason why you're not allowed to use this particular kind of a bucket is because it makes a lot of noise, and so therefore Migdash makes for us is forbidden. It makes. I'm not exactly sure what kind of pail this is that it makes some kind. It makes this kind of noise, but it's forbidden.
Galgul is a wheel that you turn on the well.
I know, the wheel with a special bell. What's the noise? It makes a lot of noise?
The squeaky wheel, it gets the grease.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, so it makes a lot of noise. Zeta, we are worried. Shema yimali liginose l'chobose. Not because it makes noise, but Rashi says it is very easy to draw water from the well by having this arrangement. And therefore, you might forget yourself and turn around to use the water to water your garden. And which, of course, you're not allowed to do, water your garden or your house that's dilapidated there, you water the gardens there. Kivin the Sigmar says, if Hocha, what happened was, in the city, Mechuzi, he allowed them to use this water, these buckets. Oh, my time. What's all reason goes, Rabbana? Why can't you do it on Shabbos? Shemi Yimalaginos Chabosa, you might water your gardens or your house in ruins. We don't have such a situation, so there's no reason to make a gzeda. Kim the Chaza, he saw the Kotoru Bakisna, he saw that they were soaking their clothes, their flax, whatever it is, the linen, during the week there. He was scared that they're going to do that on Shabbos as well. Absolutely. He said, okay, well, I can see that they have benefits from the water and they might forget themselves and do this on Shabbos as well. Then we allow them to use Berakir. My Berakir, what in the world is this Berakir? I'm a small boy. This is a boy. Shehikru alel dvarim. There were arguments about it. V'hitirua. And eventually, they permitted. So what happened was when the people were going from exile to Yerushalayim, as we'll see later on, they needed to drink water to quench their thirst. So there's a whole question, are we worried about, you know, having this pulley system to bring up the pail and so on? Can we do that on Shabbos? And they decided to allow that because there's a good reason that they're traveling, making this trek to the base of Migdash to make it easy for them to drink water as they are going. So that this was the only well that they permitted. So the word, kid is the word kriya. But that they had an argument, they brought all kinds of proof to prove that you're allowed to. Says the Gemara, makes that's a question. It tells the Braise, loik kol habayrus akiras itir. Not all of these kind of bayrus that they allow. Elazubavad, only this one. The Amri, if you can tell me, she could run a little bit of a big argument. My Zubavad, this was the only well that they had an argument about. There were no other wells. You make it sound like a whole bunch of wells. This is the only one they permitted. What were these other wells that they had an argument? Elam ranachem yitzchot, be'er maim chaim. You know the word is? It means a well, a little spring water. Shememar. And where do you find that this, where do you find that the word kid means well water? It says, Bahakir, it says Bahakir Bayim Mimeh, that the well causes its water to flow. So we see from here that what? Or the spring causes the water to flow. So we see that Kir is actually a spring. Gufa, you said, look, all Haburis Hakiris. Hitiru, they didn't allow all of these wells of spring water, Elizabeth, on this one. When the people from exile were making their trek to Yerushalayim, Chonu Aleh, they rested next to this well. Unevim Shebeinayim, Hitiru them. Even on Shabbos, you're not allowed to normally use a well of Pega, but they allowed it. The prophets among them. Which prophets? So he says, well, only Nevi'im, I don't mean necessarily the prophets. Eliminig Abaseyim Biadayim. This is a tradition they've been doing for a long time, and therefore we allow them to continue doing this. So there were no prophets that allowed at all. In Navas, the Chachamim were mad to them. Not exactly what this line was supposed to mean. Why did you say Nevi'im? Yeah.
Rashi says that the Nevi'im were Chari and Malach.
He said, not them.
After them, it became Minig Abaseyim.
No. Loi Nevi'im Shebeneim. Loi. It was not Chagas Chari and Malachi. It was not, don't think it was the Nevi'im like Chagas Chari and Malachi, because they were, it was not them. It was.
Sorry?
Sorry?
I read it wrong.
Yeah, Rashi doesn't bring up with Loi, but he says, no, in the beginning we thought Nevi'im Shebeneim is Chagas and Malachi. It says, Gemara says, but no, the Loi Nevi'im Shebeneim, it wasn't them. Eliminating of same Yedain. So why exactly did, I mean, there was another Gersa that says what you said, by the way, but it's not our Gersa. So the question is only, so why did the Gemara say Nevi'im when it wasn't Nevi'im? I'm not even sure what exactly, in our Gersa, what exactly is the Pshat? So why say something which isn't correct? Unless it means that, you know, we're having more Rabasa that Chachamim are greater than Nevi'im. So maybe that's what he's referring to, Chachamim, but he says, don't take me literally, I mean the Chachamim. I don't know. Next Mishnah. We're drawing constant comparisons between the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash. So we have a rule here that we'll explain to you as we go to the Mishnah. Sheretz, right? You have eight different kinds of creeper crawlies that the Torah says in Parsha Shmini, they generate tumah. Now a sheretz is an ava tumah, and if something touches the sheretz, they become a rishon l'tumah. If you touch a corpse is a vi, a voisa tumah. So if you touch a corpse, you become an avatumah. A sheretz makes a, you know, if a person touches the sheretz, it becomes tamei, and so on. But if a rishon touches a person, you don't become tamei. The only thing you can become tamei is food and drink. So what happens if sheretz shenimtza b'migdash? They found one of these creeper crawlers in the base of migdash. Obviously, it's not bakovedik, it's not appropriate for it to be there. But soon see whether it's even allowed to have a sheretz in the base of Migdash. You're not allowed to walk in tummy the base of Migdash, but what about having a sheretz inside the base of Migdash? Definitely pasnish, it's not bakovedik. Koyin maitzir, you should take it out, and only a koyin because they're there. And what should he use? Bahamaina. You shouldn't touch it directly because then he'll become tummy. So therefore, you should use his apron, you should use his gartel, and carry it out. So even though he's metame, he's metame, he's avnet, but it doesn't. He himself does not become tame, because once the avnet becomes tame, that's a rishon l'tumah, and a rishon l'tumah does not have, the first generation does not have the capacity to make a person tame. So the kohen makes Torah, but what you did was you rendered this avnet to be impure. And why are we such a rush? Shalalisha is a tumah. We don't want the tumah to delay it being there even 1 minute longer than it has to. Divi Rabbi Yechon Baruch. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, no. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. It's better, but sava shalait. Find yourself a wooden plier and this wooden tongs. Now, wooden tongs doesn't have, it's because it's a flat, by wood, it has to have a receptacle. It has no receptacle, so it's not mekabel tumah. And therefore, you're not generating any tumah. No vos. They don't have wooden tongs lying around, so it takes some time. So meanwhile, the sheretz is hanging around. But I think it's better not to increase the tumah, even though the tumah that's already there is remaining there. Shalei l'rabbis is a tumah. We don't want to increase the tumah. So we have a machleket. Rabbi Yochanan Breker says it's better to make your avnei tameh and remove it from the base of Midrash immediately. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's better to leave it there for a while and do not generate tumah. Find some implement that does not become tameh. Says the Gemara, Mehech Matzin, I say, which part of the Beis HaMikdash is it so important for us to remove it from? Minahechu. From obviously, you know, in the Beis HaMikdash, you had there three rooms. You had the Kodesh Kodashim, the Holy of Holies, Then you had the holies, where the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbech Gol was. Then you had the Ulam, which is the antechamber, the room before that, which we learned in the beginning of the Masechta about the doorways into there and so on. So he says here, and then you have outside the courtyard. Meheichan Maitzian, Oisa, where do you take it from, remove from? In a Heichel. So Heichel, that's the Kodesh. Umina Ulam, from the antechamber. Umibeinu Ulam Mizbech, between the section between the altar, the outside altar, which is sort of midpoint, and the building, also only Kohenim were allowed to walk there, Kohenim doing the Avodah, so therefore, only there you have to move the Shedis. Divrei Rav Shimon ben Anas, only from there, but nowhere else. And Rav Akiva says, no. He says, Kol Mokim Shechayovin Al Zdoina Koris, anywhere, if you walked in, Tameh, you'd receive Koris, or Shagol Chat, if you didn't realize you were Tameh, you bring Karmel Chattis, Misham Meitzi Noise, which means not only the Beis HaMikdash, but an entire courtyard you have to remove the Sheretz from. Bishar Kol HaMakamis, anywhere else found in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, according to Benana, it's the entire courtyard. According to Rabbi Kiva, the room is on the side of the courtyard. All you do is Kleifen Olav Pesachta, turn a copper keli over it, and that's it. And make sure you have a sign that the Sheretz there, and leave it there. We're talking about Shabbos, and leave it there because it's Muktzah. We don't want you to remove it till after Shabbos. Then the Mishnah finishes off, this is the end of Eivin, nothing to do with anything. I'm going to be sometimes lenient, sometimes strict. Where I was lenient earlier on, which we can see later, talking about Chum Shabbos, Mishlechana, so don't think I was lenient. I'm giving you back your mileage or your ability to walk there, your Chum, as we'll talk about later. And we didn't permit it only because it's a Shvus. We'll see what that's talking about. Two separate things. We'll see later. Second, I'm going to talk about Kisna Amar Shmuel Hamachnis Tomei Shed. I mean, if you walk into the base of Migdash while you became Tomei by touching a Sheretz, then Chayiv, you're liable. You had no right to walk in the base of Migdash. But Sheretz Atzmei Potter, pretty amazing. The Gemara, according to Rav Tovi, says if a Sheretz itself is inside the base, or brought a Sheretz into the base of Migdash, you are Potter. You are Potter, which is a pretty amazing thing. Says the Gemara, my time at what possible? How can it be something which became tummy from a sheretz? Let's say a keli that touches sheretz, you bring that into the base of midrash. You chayv it. You're terrible thing. A chorus, but you bring the sheretz itself in the base of midrash. You're not. How can it be? Oh, my crow, it's a posik. It says in the posik, mezocha v'nekeva, from male to female to shalech, you should send out to the outside of the camp. So we compare, just like a male and female. What do we know about a male and female? If they become tummy, they can go to mikveh. So anything which become tummy, that can go to mikveh, don't bring in the base of midrash, shalecha, send it away. However, a sheretz, can never, even you put the sheretz into the mikveh, it won't become tired. So therefore, a sheretz can be brought into the base of Migdash from the Torah's perspective. Michi yesh letara mikveh, then you're not allowed to bring it in. Yotzeze, the exception is sheretz. She'ein letara, there's no purity in the mikveh. Says the Gemara, Lema, let's say, Misayele, I will bring you a proof to corroborate what he's saying. Another din we learn from these words, Zocha and Nekeva. So just like we learn this other din, we'll soon see, we compare to a male and female regarding another aspect, so too over here also. Zocha and Nekeva go to Mikveh, so therefore Sheretz not. What do we learn? What's this other Brisa saying? Prat likle cheres. An earthenware you're allowed to bring in the, even though it's Tameh, you brought in the base of Migdash, you are potter. Why is that? Because earthen, anything that can become tummy, anything that can become tummy, and why klei cheres is different? Gemara explained. There's a good my time. What's the reason? La mishum, the less it tal mikvah. Klei cheres is the only keli that every keli becomes tummy. You put in the mikvah, you can immerse it in the mikvah, it becomes tired. Klei cheres, the only way is a shaver. You got to break it apart. So therefore, since we learned from Zohar and Akiva, male and female, they can go to mikvah, and that's why they're not allowed to walk in the base of mikvah. So klei cheres, earthenware, since it cannot be put in the mikvah, if you bring the base of mikvah, you're not chayiv. So the same thing applies also to the sheretz itself. The same logic, since the sheretz cannot go to the mikvah, become tired. The same thing here. So you might learn, no, that's not pshat at all. Could very well be that you're not allowed to bring a sheretz into the base of mikvah. You're not allowed to. I, the Pasik, Zohar, Nekeva, it's something else. You know what I'm talking about? Mi, Shenasa, Avatuma. Anything which can become an Avatuma. A person touches a dead body, you become an Avatuma. Any vessel that you have can also become an Avatuma. How? It's called Tumas Midras. If a male Zov or a female Nida sits on a utensil that can be sat on or stepped on, it becomes tumis midas, it becomes tummy like them. So therefore, every keli can become an avatuma. The only exception is a klecheres. Yotze klecheres she'ena nasa avatuma. We learned that a klecheres can never be a seat because it breaks so easily. It can never really be a seat or something you step on, so it cannot be. Nor even if a klecheres touches a dead body, anything touches the body becomes an avatuma, right? Because a dead body is an avi avois. The exception is klecheres. How do I know? Because it says in the pasuk where it talks about if you touch a dead body, you become tummy. It talks about over there, it says that, you know, you put the paradumi, you sprinkle on it the third day and the seventh day. Anything that can become pure tar, then we have these dinim of becoming tummy by touching a dead body. But since the klecheres can never become tar, you have to break it. Therefore, a klecheres, interesting, even if it touches the dead body, will not become an avatumah. And therefore, if it cannot become an avatumah, there's no sin in bringing in the base of Mikdash. However, when it comes to the shadus itself, maybe you do become tummy. Lema, you're not allowed to bring in the base of Mikdash. Okay, let us say, ketanoi, maybe actually this question is an argument tonight. Sheretz, it says there, Sheretz, Shinitz Mikdash. If you found a Sheretz in the base of Mikdash, koyin mitz in our Mishnah. One opinion says, koyin mitz ba meinoi. The Rabbi Yechim Breker says he takes it out with his gartel shalisha zatumah. We don't want the tumah to stay in another minute. Leave it, Rabbi Yechim Breker. Rabbi Yehuda says, b'tzava shaleitz, you find yourself with tongues made out of wood. Mitzia, you take it out. Shalei l'rabba says, atumah, we don't want to increase the tumah. It might take a few minutes, so what? Now, what's going on here? My labba, hakem ifli. Ma'adama shalei lisha, the one who said, you're not allowed to leave it there 1 minute longer hold. You're not allowed to have a shedder to the base of Mikdash. Get it out. You make causing tumah to the gartel, so be it. But you're not allowed to have a shedder lying in the base of Mikdash. Somebody holds. Shalei lisha, you're not allowed to leave a shedder to the base of Mikdash. He holds a matkni shel amid yechayiv. If you did that, you chayiv. Uman d'orma shel loy l'rabbis. The one who holds you're not allowed to be barba. You know, you're not allowed to bring a shadus and make some music. But he holds. The one who says no. He says that you leave it there for a few more minutes till you find yourself a wooden tongs. Because he holds there's nothing wrong. Mahatayda to bring a shedetz in the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, leave it there and find those tongues. Shalei Mandom Shalei Rabbis Ksavari holds not to increase the tumah. Holds Hamachni Shedemidish Potter. So we're like, no, Kuliyam Chayiv. Everyone holds you now bring a shedetz Beis Hamikdash. It's despicable. So what's the argument? V'hocha b'hocha mifkei. Ma'asaver. The question is, there's two bad things there. The question is, which is worse? One of them holds Shia Tuyon. It's better to leave the tumah there instead of creating new tumah. The tumah is there already, so let it there a little longer, don't create a new one. It's better to increase the tumah, lesser severity than leaving a shedet sitting there in the base of Mikdash. Maybe this question is going to be addressed by other Tanoim. Kahana Tanoim, it's not we learned. Mehechen Maitzino, see the next part of the Mishnah. Which section of the base of Mikdash you take it out from? So we had Shimon ben Anna said from the temple and the part between the base of Mikdash and the Mizbech. Rabbi Kiva said the entire courtyards as well. What's going on here? My lab, how come if me? The man d'amma mazar from the courtyard, loy, you're not allowed to even have it and leave it in the courtyard, so hold a machnit shed as the Mikdash potter. The one hold that from the Azura, you do not take it out, but you have Shim bananas. He says, only from the temple, but in the Azura, you can leave it there, hold. There's nothing wrong. It's not so bad if you bring a shadow in. So we're not going to suspend the laws of muktzah to remove it. Leave it there for Shabbos. Cover the keli. In the base of Mikdash itself, it's totally inappropriate. It's not covered. The one who says from the entire courtyard, so he holds chayiv. You are chayiv. Says the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yechon says. Everyone agrees that you're not allowed to bring a shedet into the base of Mikdash, and the basis for their argument about whether in the courtyards you're allowed to leave it or you should take it out is based on another pasuk altogether. Tosa says that the argument, the Gemara is saying that we don't know what they hold regarding the shedet, can leave it or not leave it there. It's a totally separate thing altogether, and they're only arguing based on the following pasuk. It goes as follows. It says in the pasuk, "Vayevoya koinim leprima." The koinim entered inside to take out all the avodah zarah and everything else. Vayoytzi was called tumah shemot zvei Hashem. They removed all the tumah that they found in the court and the heichol lachatzah beis Hashem. They to the chotzer of the Eibishter. Vayekablu. So the koinim brought it out into the courtyard, and then from there it was taken over by the levim. Vayekablu al levim. The levim then took it lohoitzi to take it out lenachal kidron to the river there by kidron chutz all the way outside. Now we swapped from the koinim to levim. Ma'asava. One opinion is medishtani bazora. Since we swapped in the courtyard, belevim. Why the koinim no longer doing it? Because it's not necessary. Tum bazora leka. There's no. We don't care if there's Tumah in the courtyard. And therefore, the Levim took over, and the Kohanim walked away. So therefore, that proves that you're allowed to leave the Sheretz in the courtyard, and on Shabbos, even though you should take it out, but on Shabbos, we're not going to remove the laws of Muktzah for that. Oh, but Ma'asava, the other one says, no, of course you're not allowed to have the Sheretz. You know why we swap from Kohanim to Levim? Because Kohanim are needed to do the Avodah in the base of Migdash. We don't want Kohanim to become Tamei. Levim, even though they're not become Tamei, but they don't have to do the Avodah in the base of Migdash, so therefore it's not so bad. As long as the Levim are not allowed to come into the base of Migdash itself, or even the section between the Mizbech and the building. Okay, so Mafke Kohanim, they had no choice. You use Kohanim. But Ba'ashto, the Efshib Levim, now in the courtyard, Levim are able to come. Sula Metame Kohanim, Kohanim no longer Tamei. Okay, we'll stop over here.